Hello, Maria.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? This is Ken. Ken and Pete and one more person. Okay. Till says he will be joining. So, how did the work go, Maria?
Good. Well, I have been supporting the questions about the web service, and I don't really know how they are dealing with it yet. Well, it looks good.
Hi, here's Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. We just had lunch here.
Afternoon for you. Good afternoon.
But yeah, for Peter, it's 4 a.m. in the morning, so really a lot of engagement to wake up so early. So what have you just been discussing?
No, we're waiting for you to guide us.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so then welcome to the hackathon 07, OOPS, OR, and onto Hackers. So I will start with a brief report that we already have had three very fruitful hours.
Before you start, which chat room do you want this session to be in? The HC07?
Yeah, the chat room should be HC07.
All right. I'll put a note on the main board so that people can join us there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. So, and we have actually, in the last 3 hours, discussed the OOPS OR integration and also did a lot of programming already. And you can see the discussion in another chat room. I will just type it in here. And there has been some bad feedback on OOPS and some feedback on OntoHub. Sorry, it's OOPS and OntoHub integration. And so that has been already fruitful for both sides. And, unfortunately, it's not possible to see any outcome yet, but we are working on it. And with six people here in Bremen. And so the main topic now in this session should be the API. And I have prepared some slides. You can find the slides on the Hackathon homepage.
Okay.
This is the purple number 3PYI.
I also have the VNC available.
Sorry, could you repeat that? I have not. Will
paste. I'll paste the link on there. Give me a moment.
Okay, I have pasted the link.
Hi all, I got your mind contacted here.
Hi.
Who is that?
Who is there?
Hi, Peter, Francesca here.
Francesca.
Ah, Francesca, welcome, yeah. from Hong Kong. So probably it's already evening at your place. Okay.
Yes, 7 p.m., yes.
So, everyone has the slides?
Yes, and it's on the share as well.
Ah,
on the share screen as well.
So then we can start. So, looking at slide two, this is just a repetition of the involved projects. I have already shown these slides before. So we have the Open Ontology Repository Initiative, and with Ken and Peter, some prominent representatives are here. It's a joint effort for an ontology repository that significantly goes beyond what is there, for example, in BioPortal, because it's federated with many instances running in parallel and exchanging data, and it's going beyond just having OWL as ontology language and so on. And there's an architecture and an API available, and current implementations are BioPortal and OntoHub. So OntoHub is a web-based repository for distributed and heterogeneous ontologies, and there is a prototype at ontohub.org. And currently, we are working actually with a prototype at staging.ontohub.org, which includes the most recent developments. And the midterm goal there is to follow the OR architecture and API. And finally, there's OOPS, which is an ontology evaluation tool just for OWL, not for other languages, but for OWL. And it gives hints or suggestions and warnings, as I have learned today, and lists pitfalls. For example, that there is a cyclic relation between classes, or that there could be inverse properties of some properties and so on. And there is an XML-based web service available. Okay, slide three. So the expected deliverables of the hackathon are an API that allows to integrate all these three projects. And I have a lot of slides about this. And we also want to have the integration of OOPS and ontohub.org, where we are already working, and you can see this the discussion in the other chat. So slide four. So OntoHub's notion of ontology is quite generic because it's language independent. An ontology is a set of symbols. Each symbol has a kind, and these kinds in OWL can be classes, object properties, and data properties. In common logic, it's names and sequence markers. In first order logic, predicates and function symbols, and so on. So we have these symbols, and we have a set of sentences, axioms, definitions, theorems. And there's the semantics and the theory of institutes, and we can have metadata and comments. So that is generalizing what is there in BioPortal from OWL to any ontology language. And this has important consequences for the API. Slide five. So the current architecture of OR, you see it at the left-hand side. We have eight different services which communicate. So it's a decoupled, decentralized architecture with a persistence service where ontologies are stored. You can find them as an inference service. You can, where you can employ logical reasoning. You have, of course, administration for users and passwords and so on. You have presentation, where you can nicely view ontologies, and you have federation, where you can integrate different instances of the same repository architecture and exchange data. And then you have workflows, where you can provide different use cases or sequence of steps how to use all this. And finally, you have a registrar where you can register approved workflows. Okay, that's the OOR architecture, very briefly. And on the right-hand side, you can see the current OntoHub architecture, which is much more monolithic. It's basically developed in Ruby on Rails and with a PostgreSQL or MySQL database. And then we have Tomcat coupled with Solr as a find service and Heads as inference engine. And they communicate by the file system, not via RESTful or SOAP services. So that's still quite monolithic and not following the OOR architecture, but OntoHub has the advantage it is a running system where you can see something, whereas OOR currently just is basically an architecture, and there's BioPortal, but BioPortal does not follow this architecture so much. And the plan is now to adapt OntoHub successively to the OOR architecture, but while keeping a running system. So we don't want to break the functionality, but we want to keep the system running. And therefore, on slide 6, this is now what we have discussed in the OntoHub group to be the next step. So you see in the center there is OntoHub with a lot of arrows pointing to it. Then you have OntoHub plays different roles, so it's quite still a bit centralistic, if you wish. So integration, find, and administration is all done by OntoHub, and also the presentation. But presentation, there we want to actually have WebProtege in, which can nicely display all ontologies as an external service. Then there is federation on the left-hand side, where we want to be able to speak with other OntoHub instances and also with BioPortal instances and exchanging data. Then we have on the right-hand side inference. I call this now inference and evaluation, because we want also to integrate tools like OOPS there. And then we have to distinguish automatic inference and evaluation from interactive inference and evaluation, because the inferences, the interfaces can be quite different. So the automatic one, there we have OOPS and the heterogeneous tool set, and we have a lot of provers like Palette, Fact, Sparse, Vampire, which can also directly be interfaced to OntoHub without the way through Heads. So basically here you send an ontology to the service and you get some feedback. Interactive inference and evaluation is more complicated. We plan to integrate Client with OntoHub, which interfaces the theorem prover Isabel with the web interface. And there you have a much more fine-grained interaction. You send an ontology to Client, and then you can actually do interactive proof steps. Then at the bottom you have a persistence layer. For persistence, we want to use Git, the Git repository engine, where ontologies and ontology versions can be stored in Git repositories. And Git also provides an interface to Subversion, so we can also handle Subversion repositories with that. So that shall be the persistence layer of OntoHub. And then we have admin there that we provide an SSH access to Git, so that users can enter their SSH keys in OntoHub and via that can also get write access to certain Git repositories. So that's the new architecture. And I think that's a considerable step of OntoHub towards the OOR architecture, although admittedly it's not arriving at the OOR architecture because OntoHub is still a kind of centralized service in the middle of the picture. So it's still a bit centralized, but with some decentralized elements like federation, persistence, and inference. Also, some presentation is becoming decentralized. So then slide 7. So in order to make this architecture work, we need a lot of APIs. The first one is for federation. That means if OntoHub speaks with other OntoHub instances or with BioPortal instances, we need to exchange ontology data. And the idea is there to take the BioPortal API and generalize it to arbitrary logics. And then we have an API that should fit the needs of federations. Then automatic inference and evaluation. There we have HETS and OOPS currently, and also the other theorem provers like Spaß and Pellet and so on. Both HETS and OOPS have APIs. We could try to abstract them. And for other provers like Pellet or Spaß, we should write wrappers around these provers so that they also speak this API. For interactive inference, the idea is to equip this Clyde project with an API. Luckily, we could gain Martin Ring, who is the author of Clyde, and he will join the OntoHub team and provide an API for Clyde. For the persistence and admin layer, we have Eugen Kuxa, who also will join the OntoHub team, and he has written a web interface for Git called BringIt. And I think there will also be an API around then, so that you can access Git via the API, and also, which is also important, of course, via a web interface that you can, for example, edit ontologies and propose new versions via Git branches and so on. And for the presentation layer, as a first step, we propose to equip WebProtégé with an API. Actually, for WebProtégé, there is in the wiki of WebProtégé, there is a proposal to actually do this, but no one has done this so far. Currently, we don't have someone at the OntoHub team doing this, but so we are still searching for volunteers here. Okay, so slide 8, the Federation API, a quick overview. We take the BioPortal API, which, as Ken told me, is also the current OOR API, and generalize it to arbitrary logics. So examples are list all the latest versions of ontologies that should be kept. That is something that is already general enough. Then we have something like get all terms using the specific ontology version ID. That needs to be generalized, but that's easy. We just can replace term by symbol, and symbol can then mean anything as explained on the previous slides. And then we have something like list the latest versions of all views. And views basically assume a class hierarchy. And we have ontology languages like Common Logic, that, or First Order Logic or whatever. There's someone. Someone is trying to say something.
No.
No?
I can't hear anyone. And no one's hand is showing up.
Okay. then this was just a kind of noise on the channel. So API methods like list the latest version of all views, either we need to drop that because at the general level of OntoHub we don't have this, we don't have a class hierarchy, or we could generalize it somehow, I don't know how, or we could just say that this is only available for our ontologies where we have the class hierarchy. Or we could do research and say, okay, also common logic ontologies have a class hierarchy somehow, but that's not entirely clear. Okay, slide 9. So the automatic inference and evaluation API. So in the future, we should wrap up more tools with APIs that are ready for this. And the idea could be that we each tool delivers its own description. So the description would provide the type of tool, like the prover, a model finder, a conservativity checker, an evaluation tool, and so on. The language or logic, like OWL, Common Logic, TPTP, THF. So the latter two are interface languages for many provers. Or also DOL, the distributed ontology language. This is a bit different than the others because it involves several ontologies within one text. And it should also list the input parameters, including all the options, because automatic provers are notorious for having tons of options. So they are not that automatic because you have in doubt you have to try them multiple times and varying the options. The output would be for a prover a list of the axioms used in the proof. The proof itself could not be standardized probably, but has to be prover specific. And the proof status using the SZS ontology developed by Jeff Sutcliffe. So that is already there, an ontology of outcomes of provers. For a model finder, which is also important for showing consistency of ontologies or providing sample models, we would output the model, and this is typically by common model finders like Darwin, represent these as lists of symbols and axioms. So it's a kind of logical theory describing the model. For evaluation tools, it could be a list of responses related to ontology symbols. That's what we learned from OOPS today. Slide 10. So if we have a closer look at OOPS, OOPS basically has a very simple API. You have just one post method with four parameters, the ontology, URL, and the content, so you can... It suffices to have one of these, of course. And then you want, you can specify the list of pitfalls that you want. That's, of course, very OOPS specific. And the output format can be XML or RDF. And the output is a list of responses of the following form. You have the type of the response. It can be a pitfall, warning, or suggestions. You have a code, which is basically an integer. You have a name, which is a short description. The description itself is a longer description, and you have a list of involved symbols or of affected symbols, I should say, because that's the terminology of OOPS, possibly further annotated. We have discussed that for OntoHub we prefer to have the annotation as part of the name or the description and use several responders if necessary so that we can break up one OOPS response into several responses, such that we don't have a complex structured element there, but we have a list of simpler elements. So that's kind of one step towards having a more general API that can be used across different tools. I'm not sure. Okay, page 11. The HETS API, yeah, that's much more complicated because HETS can possibly distribute an ontology and output development graphs. Development graphs are basically graphs of ontologies as nodes and ontology imports and links like alignments or interpretations as links of the graph. And here you see a lot of methods, yeah, where you can get the development graph of IRI or start a new proof session and get the menu structure, get infos for nodes or for edges, and slide 12, and then you can execute a lot of proof commands, call specific provers, translate ontologies along logic translations, and so on. So that's quite specific, and it's not clear to me how to generalize this to an API for inference. But I would suggest that we start with the Federation API, because it seems to be simpler, because we already have the BioPortal API there. Okay, so that's it for the slides. So do you have any comments or suggestions to that?
I have a few questions, if this is the right point to ask.
Yeah, sure.
See, I would like to switch back to slide number 6, where you have the architecture diagram. Maybe ask a few questions there. First of all, is the head to reasoner the API or the integration already in place for you? Or that method to have?
The head API already exists, or what do you mean?
So HETS to reasoner this is in place, OntoHub to HETS is in place.
HETS to reasoners is in place. OntoHub to HETS is in place only in a very ad hoc way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use the RESTful API of HETS, so this needs still to be done.
Okay.
And, sorry, Daniel, it's...
there is one API of RESTful API for HETS, but we are not using the current version of OntoHub.
In this OntoHub to reasoner sort of directly, this API is also planned by Zoom?
Hmm? Yeah.
But is OntoHub to reasoners, is that just being planned, or is that in place?
No, this is just being planned.
Yeah, okay. And also, you have are you running the Git engine, or are these instances of GitHub?
No, so this Git interface, there is this Eugen Kuxa has done a student project and he will join the team. So there is something done there. And you can use either your own Git repository or GitHub as you wish. So that's basically generic. It's just that you need some Git.
So maybe a last question. I'm not familiar with Clyde or Isabella. Can you maybe describe it a little more? What does this do, Clyde?
Yeah, so Clyde basically provides a web interface to Isabel. So Isabel is an interactive prover. You have an Isabel theory, which is basically a list of the logical declarations, those logical symbols and axioms and so on, and also proof scripts are basically mixed up with the logical stuff. And then you, with Isabel, you step through these scripts and prove certain things.
And Clyde provides that interface?
Yeah. So normally you do this in your Emacs on your local computer, and Clyde provides a web interface where you can, in some web browser, you can also do the same stepping through your text. And
at one point, I would love to see what that is, but not now. One other question. What is there any plan for an AntoHub Colore integration, or what is the plan between AntoHub and Colore? The reason why I'm asking is, as you can see, Colore is also part of the general OOR network. And before AntoHub appeared, Colore probably was our plan to be the repository for Common Logic ontologies. Of course, AntoHub provides a lot more, but I'm sure you're already working with Michael. So is there some plan on how they and AntoHub might work together or complement each other?
So the current status is that we just have taken the Colore ontologies and basically pasted them into AntoHub. So just showing that you can access them there and that AntoHub also speaks Common Logic. But the proper way to do this is actually, yeah, as you can see in the persistence layer there, you have Git and you have Subversion via the Git SVN interface. And Colore is a Subversion repository. So we could edit once. Pardon?
I think you can put them here.
Yeah.
Put this here?
I mean, Colore.
Yeah, we could pull. You mean we could pull all the Colore there in the picture as well?
Yes.
Yeah. At the SVN box there, there could be a Colore there. Yeah. And then we could actually integrate Colore into GitHub and automatically get the latest versions from the SVN. So currently we just have pasted it, and that means if one checks in something into the Subversion repository of Colore, we don't see it on AntoHub, but we have to manually copy it to there, and that's of course unsatisfactory. And therefore in the future, we will have this direct interface to Subversion and Git. And yeah, then we automatically get all the newest versions, and we even can, if we have the correct SSH keys, we can write to the Subversion repository via AntoHub. And all this, yeah. And Eugen Kuxa is going to join us in June, and I would expect that all of this is ready in August or September. I'm not exactly sure.
If you can type the name onto the chat, that would be nice.
Yeah, you mean this, what I just said, yeah?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, meanwhile, you can just go ahead and ask other questions, or if other people have questions.
I have one suggestion, but again, I don't want to distract the good work that's going on. During the Hackathon project, HCO4, originally we had a plan. I was planning that one person who developed a user interface called HyperWords was going to introduce to us some code, open source code, that we could make a very good UI for, which is very interesting. And unfortunately, he cannot join us, but he sent us the sent me the code. He was one colleague of mine, and we worked more than 10 years, maybe 12 years ago, when we were both working with Doug Engelbart at the Bootstrap Institute. He has a thing called a HyperWords server, so which is a very, it has a very nice user interface. Maybe at one point, if we want an interactive user interface, we could integrate that. And that's also one of the reasons why I was interested to see how the client interface is like. But I don't want to distract this. Okay, I'm sorry, was Ken trying to speak just now?
Yes, I was.
Sorry. Good.
Peter, could you just post a link for what you have just said?
Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I'm looking through your API. Now, one idea that we had, the idea of the architecture that we developed for the for OOR was to try to APIs for each of those modules, and I think the API that you're writing there in the AutoHub API, that would just be the API for that one kind of central module. Is that correct?
Yeah, not entirely, because you can see on slide 7 that we have 5 different APIs that we want to have.
Right.
So the APIs will differ. So federation is of course the central one, because for federation, yeah, you need to be able to exchange all the data. So that's the central one. But inference, persistence, and presentation have separate APIs. And so this is a step towards the OR architecture. Of course, in OR, there you have still more APIs. But with these 5, I think it's a good compromise between having kind of a clean architecture as OR and making things really work, that the web service runs and can be used, on the other hand.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. My question was rather in that document that you have there, which of these services is for which? Do you have that? Federation? It's just this question. So where are the APIs for the other modules? See, you have these 5.
Yeah. I have prepared, so in the wiki page, and there's also a Google Doc document. It's next to the links, link to the slides. On this Google Doc document, I have started with the Federation API.
That's what I was looking at.
So the inference API is on my slides on page 9 to 12. There are some ideas, so it's not a fixed API yet. And concerning the persistence API, I'm not sure. So, Julian, what do you know about the Bring It project. Is there an API for Git as well, or is it just a web interface? Yeah, you have to speak into the microphone.
The Bring It project offers a web front end for to access the repositories, and it can be extended with an SSH interface if you want to clone or to push into a repository. And an API is not yet available, but it can be extended. It depends on your requirements, but it's not a problem to write an API for the Git interface.
So the question would be, is the communication between OntoHub and Git, is it useful to have it via the API, or is it more useful to have it directly via accessing Git commands? Or how is this exactly done currently?
Currently, the access to the repositories is done via libgit library, and that requires that that all repositories can be accessed through the file system, or a remote file system could be mounted into the Git front end.
Yes, but that means in the future we should also have the ability to access remote Git repositories, which cannot be mounted via the file system, and then you would probably need such an API.
Yes, remote Git repositories can be accessed through HTTP or through SSH. I think that's everything that Git is already capable of.
So that means in a sense we don't need to have an API at a Git level. We can have one if it's needed, but it's not needed for our architecture currently. Yeah, sorry, there was someone else.
When you say it has an HTTP API, do you mean a web service API?
I mean, you can clone Git repositories with SSH or with HTTP. If you want to change a single file, then there are two ways of doing it. The first way is that you can clone the repository, change the file, commit the file into the local repository, and push your commit into the remote repository. I don't think that's possible if you use HTTP. If you want to change a file with a REST interface, then you need a REST interface. It's not yet, no. But it's no problem to write a REST interface if you to offer the ability to change a single file, for example. But if you want to move files in the repository, or rename files, or delete some files at once, or add some files at once, and then it might be easier to do it with directly in a local repository, and you push all your changes at once.
Yeah, that's of course maybe making this need to interact with remote repositories superfluous, because you can always push at a local repository and commit to a local repository and then push to a remote one just using Git. In a sense, you can say that uses the Git API, if you wish. So Git has already a rich API where you via the
we already have a kind of REST interface. The web interface to Git offers an online editor of syntax highlighting to edit specific files. And yes, you can see the browser as a REST interface or a REST client, and then the REST API does already exist, but it is currently it's the API is session based, and if you want to access the API, then you need kind of HTTP basic authentication, and that does not yet exist. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Could you repeat my words? Okay, we just agreed that with HTTP it's more problematic because you need this authentication, but if you have SSH, then it's easier because then you can just exchange SSH keys. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Currently, the authentication is only session-based, but we could extend AP or token authentication if you want to access the REST interface using scripts or another client, not the web browser.
Okay, so that was about Git. So, probably we should at one point assemble all these things together in one document. But my idea was to start with the federation because it's, in a sense, the most urgent and probably also largest interface.
Oh, no, it's good. I was just curious where these other APIs that might be developed. I mean, it seems like it'd be a substantial project to get all of the APIs and get them all, you know, working on a particular instance. So we're working on Onto Hub. And we had an awful lot of issues when we were attempting to develop the API in more detail for OOR. Versioning, for example, became quite problematic because when you have, you know, references within, say, an ontology to some other symbol in your sense, you don't normally specify a version ID. So it becomes somewhat ambiguous what you mean when you have successive versions. You know, which, you know, and you have an ontology, some other ontology there that has a link to a versioned ontology.
Yeah, we already have. Oh, sorry.
So, how are you proposing to develop, and how are you proposing to deal with this in the API?
So, Git addresses versioning directly. And in Onto Hub, we, on top of this Git kind of persistence backend, we have versioned ontologies. So it's like in BioPortal that you can refer to an ontology with its ID and its version number. And if you have a URI referring to the ontology, you will always get the latest version, but you can also have your eyes pointing to previous versions. So that means if you refer to a symbol of an ontology, you can use either the symbol in the latest version or in a specific version.
You have a syntax specifying that?
Yes, via the IRI.
Okay.
So because everything is basically identified with IRIs, and therefore you can also use the IRIs to access specific ontology versions.
Okay. Another thing we noticed was that the BioPortal API was really quite large. And it seemed like there were ways you could simplify it if you just kind of generalize terms. For example, using the, you have a symbol in kind, you could have a single, you know, web service call that would handle looking up properties, classes, you know, and, you know, even other kinds of things just by saying, by having a separate place to, you know, a separate parameter that specifies the kind. So the idea would be to try to make the API a little bit simpler because it was really pretty complicated. So have you thought about any simplifications where you could, you know, hopefully reduce the size of this rather unwieldy API? Phil?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I think, yeah, with this symbol concept, we already have some simplification in the API. And so that it should become shorter at certain places, but I think in general, so the it will still remain quite complex. Or do you have other ideas how to make it simpler?
Well, if you were just using RDS style ontology, then queries could all be handled using Sparkle. So there were a large number of API calls that were just just all kinds of variations on a query. But if you're generalizing to other kinds of ontologies, it's not clear that you could do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Then could Sparkle still make sense in these other frameworks?
I'm not sure. So I think in general, no. Except if you push the use of Sparkle to the beta level.
Yeah, well, that may be what we could do. Where, you know, at the meta level, you could do that. And particularly when you're just looking at version, you know, ontologies, versions of ontologies, you know, sort of treating an ontology almost as a black box. This isn't complex that, you know, complex enough that you would need to use, say, common logic at that level. And something like Sparkle might be just fine.
Yeah, on the other hand, to have this meta level would add further complications, so I'm not sure whether this is worthwhile trying, but yeah, we can think of this.
Yeah, I agree that this is not necessarily going to improve things. But it's something we should probably look at just as a possibility. I mean, in the OR, the original idea was to use OMV as the ontology of ontologies, or, you know, for specifying the registration of an ontology and its basic properties. But I don't think OMV is sufficient to handle all the different types of ontologies you're talking about.
Sorry, what is OMV? I have seen this at the architecture picture, but what is OMV?
It's just an ontology for specifying ontology artifacts. So it just, you know,
I will say something
about ontology language, things like that.
I pasted the link on the chat.
Yeah, you have a link?
Ontology, metadata, vocabulary.
Ontology, metadata, vocabulary. Right.
Which was one of the NEON projects. BioPortal also incorporates some features of OMV, not completely. We had several OOR discussions about OMV, and essentially they are quite comprehensive until one gets to, let's say, ontology modules. So if you want to go finer grain, then I guess at one point, Michael Gruniker did say that there probably needs to be some extensions to cover ontology modules. So in the OOR team, Michael Gruniker sort of leads the work on metadata. So he would be
right.
The person to interface with.
We've had quite a few
sessions.
Sessions discussing this issue. And of course, modularity is a big concern of his. And that would mean that you'd have still more complexity and specification on ontology because it would, you know, an ontology would be made up of modules. This is not all that much different from the way things are done in software where you need a particular software, a particular tool, like a program, is actually made up of quite a large number of other modules, you know, that all have to be kind of compiled together so that you can then run it. And then in order for all that to work, you have to have the right versions of all of the various modules. So this leads to the whole notion of configuration management, which we don't seem to have anything quite comparable to such a configuration in the OOR right now, because it treats the basic unit of the of storage and retrieval as the ontology, or actually ontology version. But the idea of having sort of a collection of ontology that you put together as a, you know, in a configuration, I don't think we quite have that yet, particularly because you also want to be able to map these.
Sorry, could you repeat the last sentence?
So I think in the when we were looking over the sort of concept of what would be stored, you have not just ontologies and their versions, but you also have mapping ontologies, and of course those can have versions.
Yes.
And finally, you could have a collection of ontologies that you pull together, and so you pull together a bunch of ontologies and mappings between them, and kind of construct a combination of all of them.
That's all there in OntoHub already.
I believe OntoHub has that, right.
So that's called, so the latter concept is called the distributed ontology in OntoHub. And the distributed
right.
ontology is exactly a collection of ontologies and links between them.
Good. But where is this in the API right now?
It's not yet there. That's true. It should be added.
That kind of distributed ontology is pretty essential. And I think when you start integrating it with OOPS, you know, you need to check that not just that the individual pieces of the ontology are consistent, but they also are consistent when you put them all together. You should be able to, we need to have an API that goes to these checkers, to these theorem provers checkers, inference engines, and evaluators that specifies this whole distributed ontology concept.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone online right now? Is there a comment on that? Is anyone?
Missed your last question. Could you repeat
who,
that?
Who from OOPS is currently?
Me.
Maria.
Can you hear me?
Maria, are you still here? Yeah.
Can you hear me?
OOPS. Yes, we hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. Yeah.
So what do you think of this idea that you really need to check not just individual ontology modules, but actually the whole combination?
From my point of view, I think both checking should be done, but if you check that the whole combination of every module, if every module together is consistent, then the separated part will be consistent. So you only need to do with the whole complete ontology. And from the side of OOPS right now, it does that as long as the every module, if you use all imports, is available online. So if we can load into the model all the single modules, OOPS will check the whole ontology. Does it answer your question?
So you're just using import as your...
For OOPS, just using imports, yeah. But I don't know in which other case you will have that case. I mean, if you have separated parts, if they are not put together with our imports, or maybe merged in a new file, do you mean?
Yeah, but I think what Ken mentioned is that you could have a distributed ontology comprising several individual ontologies and alignments, for example, between them. And OOPS cannot handle that, but I think it's not necessary that OOPS handles that, because you can use the distributed ontology language DOL and write a distributed ontology like that, and then you have the combine keyword in DOL, and the combine keyword can be used to integrate all these ontologies along their alignments to one big ontology, and then you can use this resulting big ontology and send this to OOPS.
Yes. And it would be analyzed as a whole.
Yes, it would be analyzed as a whole.
Mm-hmm. OOPS does if there is an old import that nicely can be loaded and redirect. If not, it's just Google analyze the part of the code that you have in the input ontology. So in some cases it does, but just through the old imports. But of course, if you have several, in the case you talk about the using the DOL language, or if you have local files, you can merge all of them to one. That, I guess, is the equivalent of what you said. Just creating one ontology containing all of the modules.
Yeah, but the integration is sometimes more complex. If you have alignments, for example, you have one ontology where you have a concept person, and another ontology where you have a concept human being, and then you have an alignment between these ontologies, identifying person with human being, then the resulting overall ontology is not just the union, but the union where all parts of person and human being have been identified into a single concept. And operations like this are basically achieved in the distributed ontology language using this combine keyword. And then you can list some ontologies and some alignments. So you don't need to use all alignments, but you can choose which alignments you want to use for your combination, and then you get a combined ontology. And therefore, since this basically computing this overall ontologies from the basic ontologies and the alignments is quite complex, and this is actually done by heads, I would suggest that actually this is not the responsibility of services like OOPS, but in OntoHub you will have a means to compute this combined ontology via heads, and then you can send the result to services like OOPS.
So this is, you refer to this as this is integration, basically.
Yes, in DOL we call it combination.
Combination, and
yeah,
it sounds like that service is quite separate from other services. It's almost like it's a separate module in the architecture.
You mean a combination.
Yeah. You need to be able to do this combination before you then do evaluation or inference.
Yeah.
So in the architecture, it might make sense for this to be treated as a different service, a different module.
Yeah, I would actually put it at the inference side, although inference is perhaps not the right thing. Yeah. Perhaps it's more.
Yeah, this doesn't really sound like inference to me. I mean, it's, although, you know, clearly they're related.
It's more analysis and construction, yeah.
Construction of the, like I say, analogous to, you know, in software engineering, the what they call a configuration.
Call what?
In software engineering, they call this a configuration.
Configuration. Mm-hmm.
And then they have configuration management tools that are devoted just to this. So it's a substantial kind of it's substantial to manage these configurations, you know, and you know, you to specify in this language, for example, if you're specifying language, that could be quite a big task for a person who's doing ontology development and administration, as the various modules, various parts of the ontology go through new versions. You see, you have to continually check to make sure that you can move to the new version. Anybody who has used software systems, I think, is aware of the difficulty that you have to go through as these versions proceed, you know, and the certain features are deprecated and you have to work around them. If you use that feature, same sort of thing can start happening as you do this with ontologies.
Yeah, sure. So we need to kind of change management. But concerning this combination or integration of ontologies, since it is part of the distributed ontology language, I would suggest to require users to express this in the distributed ontology language, these kind of configurations. And then these are basically just texts with distributed ontologies, and then the tool needed for this is basically a static analysis of this text. And that then covers this ontology combination.
Yeah, that'll be quite handy because then it would simplify the API, simplify some of these other tools because they can assume that the ontology has already been, completely combined. Then it wouldn't have to take responsibility for doing imports.
Yeah. Yeah, generally we should also have static analysis tools that basically input in ontology and output basically a kind of list of symbols and axioms in a structured way. Hetz can do this currently, but Hetz has its limitations. Yesterday we have to try to upload 300 megabyte ontology to Onto Hub, and Hetz basically failed to do that. So we probably need more efficient services that are specialized, say, towards OWL ontologies that are very large, and they could do the same thing. So static analysis, yeah. So I should add this to the general picture as a separate component.
Yeah. So they are very large ontologies out there, and so there is a concern at some point of dealing with the the scale up problem. When you start combining very large ontologies, what's going to happen? There's certainly many of them out there that have millions of concepts. In biomedical, for example, that is something that they do. But I don't think that's necessary. I don't know if it's necessary for the API to deal with that.
No, I just meant that we should have several static analysis tools, not just Hetz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if we have a consistent API, then they can all just support that API, and you can have multiple modules.
Mm-hmm.
System. That was the whole idea, of course, of having these APIs.
Yeah.
But it looks good. Looking at your proposed new architecture, you don't have a place for the workflow, though.
Yeah, that's true. So basically, we don't have enough resources for doing that. And actually realizing this current architecture picture is quite a lot of work, and we are currently 7 people here in Bremen. I think we need all our efforts, and Eugen and Martin will join us, so 9 people then, but we will need all these resources in order to realize what's there on the slides. And this workflow component would be nice, but currently, yeah, we need to rely on other people working on that.
Well, one can just put the workflow there between presentation and the Onto Hub. So you really wouldn't have to, wouldn't have to do anything about it. Just have to have a place where it can be put.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish to, enforce a particular workflow on your repository. So I don't think it's a problem getting it in there, and I don't think you'd have to work on it either. All that would be needed basically would be for you to have a very, to have the API, fully specified so that a workflow engine could then make use of it.
So, but I don't understand why it would sit between the between OntoHub and the presentation layer, because the workflows also can involve inferences, say.
It could, actually. Not just... Their workflow can there are really kind of two things going on in workflow. One of them is kind of a quality control. So when you have something like a like what goes on in BioPortal, they have certain minimal standards. So that if somebody wants to register their ontology, they have to check, you know, for certain consistency conditions and making sure that you specify everything properly before they'll then accept this as a as one of the ontologies that they will advertise in BioPortal. So that's kind of one responsibility that this kind of thing has. It's kind of a gatekeeper. But then another possible responsibility is to have a workflow involving multiple individuals so that you have a collaboration going on and the various individuals have responsibilities in the development of the of these artifacts. This comes up a lot when you have kind of like when you treat ontologies as standards for a field, and the various groups and individuals have to approve the ontology before it becomes part of the before it becomes approved as a standard for the standards body. So those workflows can be really pretty complex and take years to complete. So that's a different notion of the workflow that's necessary for development of these ontologies. So it's just really kind of two things: the gatekeeping aspect and the workflow for approval of an ontology by a community. So the gatekeeping would definitely involve inference and going to a tool like OOPS, for example, to evaluate, make sure that the ontology is high quality. The other one, on the other hand, doesn't really directly involve any of this, although, of course, the individuals who are approving it would want to check the quality. But so while they're related to each other, these are really two different notions.
Can I ask a quick question, Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had this discussion before, and at that point, I think the consensus, or at least your disposition, was to have the gatekeeper engine run workflow as well. Have you changed your mind since? Do you still see that as one module within the architecture?
I've always seen
the two things you described, the gatekeeping and the workflow management.
Right. I always envisioned it as being a single module, but I mean, I'm open to other suggestions if you feel that that's too monolithic an approach.
Since you and Todd run architecture, so we could defer to you for a decision. I mean, I'm sure you understand both sides of the story better than most of us.
Right. Well, yeah, in our discussions, we settled on that, that approach. But now we're looking at a different, somewhat different context and a somewhat different architecture. And how one would fit that into this architecture is now an issue. And
so if this is a sort of new direction, and I'm fine with that. Could you capture that onto the chat? Also, I know you, this session is supposed to end in about like 23 minutes. And even if we extend it, maybe at best we could do it for another 10 or 12 minutes because we'll have to move into another project, open webcast. So in the interest of time, could we refocus a little bit on what can come out as a deliverable for this project? I know Ken's time, is particularly constrained today. So since, I mean, we only have at best half an hour, what can we do in the next half an hour to enable we have some API deliverable for today, rather than saying that we had a good discussion?
So I would propose we take this Google document. So you find the link at the Hackathon 07 web page. Just right to the slides that you have just downloaded. And then I would suggest that we all go into this Google document and then basically transform this into a Federation API that is actually then also used by OntoHub. Is this okay?
Yeah, I'll just capture this chat, and then you should go on and do the API.
Sorry, could you repeat the last sentence?
I'll just capture what it's in the chat.
Okay. So then let's go through the API in the Google Docs document. So it will be the Federation API. If we have time, we can also work on the other APIs, but we should start with this one. So I think if we look at the first list there, list all the latest version of ontologies, that's okay. Get a specific ontology based on a version ID. I think we also need that. Download an ontology file. Download the latest ontology file. I'm not sure. So this could probably be dropped because we can get the latest version and then download the corresponding ontology file. So we drop that. Is this okay? Or maybe we keep it because we want to be compatible with BioPortal as much as possible, because we have to bear in mind that we need to write a wrapping interfacing the BioPortal API with our API in order to be able to speak with BioPortal. So maybe then we keep what's there.
I agree. I also agree.
Yeah. So then I would say we keep all this list here. Okay, and then I write we need more services like, yeah, I add them here, say list all ontology languages, list all supported logics for an ontology language, because we can have, say, OWL has Stroik as the main logic, but there's also EL, QL, RL, and so on. List all ontology language translations. Or all translation with a given source, perhaps, and with a given target. Listing all ontology categories and groups. Okay, and then Ken said something about distributed ontologies. So we should list all ontologies given a language, for example. And then we should also list all distributed ontologies, which are special, because they have, in a sense, the language DOL. Maybe we should just say the language can be DOL. In this case, list all distributed ontologies. And then, given a distributed ontology, list all component ontologies and links. Maybe also given an ontology, list all distributed ontologies it belongs to. Or given a link at the same. Yeah. Okay. So far for ontologies. Now we have views. I'm not sure what to do about views, because views are...
When you say ontology, I assume you mean ontology version?
You mean ontology version of...
So whenever you ask about an ontology, you can specify a version?
Yeah.
But I mean,
optionally, there can be a version, yeah.
Well, I mean, you just say overall, whenever you say ontology, yeah, you can optionally specify a version, then you don't have to change the document here.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we can have it overall, so.
I think overall would be better.
General remark. Is okay?
That sounds good.
And we can delete the version. Then the second one, get a specific ontology based on a version ID, is not necessary. We can
get a specific ontology.
Get a specific ontology. I put it in brackets.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So now coming to the next group, it's about use. And a view is basically a class hierarchy. I'm not sure. I just look up at the bio portal. Does anyone exactly know the details of what a view is?
I've never actually used that feature, so I don't know that it's what exactly it does. It's very OWL specific.
Yeah, and I tend to delete it from the interface here, from the API.
Yeah, I see no reason to keep it.
Good. That makes things simpler. It will be complex enough, and if we, in a later stage, urgently need it, we can still edit. So.
Well, it seems to be mostly concerned with extracting a part of an ontology.
Yeah.
For presentation.
We could, of course, say, have a service extracting the part of an ontology that involves a certain list of symbols, kind of sub-ontology.
Do we want a notion of a sub-ontology, or would we rather just have a modularity notion?
Yeah, there is this. Yeah, we have in OntoHub, we have a notion of sub-ontology. And there's also this notion of module extraction and so on, but that's interesting.
That'll be better than views, I would think.
Yeah, and module extraction, but I'm not sure whether I would put this into the Federation API. Module extraction is a specific service, I would say.
Oh, I don't talk in Federation. I think we shouldn't have it in Federation.
Yeah, but this general API that we are just discussing is not suited for having this module extraction, I think, because there are many different module extraction algorithms and very specific tools and so on. So I think it's even closer to inference.
How about situations where it's actually not a module, but a quote-unquote view, I mean, a filtered presentation, a filtered view or something, let's say.
But why would the
show all classes? What?
That's for presentation. That's not for federation.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I think we shouldn't do anything. Put anything in Federation that is important just for Federation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that's valid.
So, yeah, I think we really should remove that on views. And
Okay, I have done this.
The other kind of sub-ontology from Federation.
Okay, then the next is next method is search bioportal, and I'm not sure search is in the OOR architecture diagram. Is it service on its own? So maybe we should write a new search API, but for Federation, I think it's not needed.
No, there's no need for that.
Okay, so I put it at the end that you need to care about search services. Okay, then we have the next couple of methods, get term, including its properties, subclasses, and superclasses. So this should be symbol.
Why are we putting these in the Federation API?
Yeah, we need at least to get all this, the symbols of an ontology, I think. Or maybe this is static analysis.
This is static analysis. It doesn't belong in Federation.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So, yeah. Interesting. So I will move this to a separate section, static analysis. Very good. Okay, then the next one, get all available ontology properties. Yeah, that's also static analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, get all direct instances for a given term. Yeah, there's also static analysis, I would say. The next four, hierarchy services and so on. So I move them at the end to a section static analysis. Okay, and then we have dump services. So that needs to be generalized to list all serializations and so on. I have actually made some suggestions. I can itemize them. And I think it can replace the other thing. So then the question is whether the list of this serialization stuff is still maybe this should be part of Federation because we need to know what serializations are known and maybe also dump specific formats because some tools need this format. Yeah.
Well, you have download.
We have download, yeah.
And when you say download, that has to be in some serialization.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Wouldn't all those downloads be contained in that, in the serialization dump?
So
right,
we can combine this.
Right.
So we can move it to here. Yeah. Okay, and then
what is meant by get a specific ontology and download an ontology file? What is the difference between the two?
So I think getting a specific ontology just means you get some metadata about the ontology, but not the file itself.
Should we write here,
that's
get
right.
Metadata?
Yeah, get metadata is better, I would say.
Would synchronize, sync be an API in Federation particularly? If I have two repositories.
Synchronize repositories, yeah.
Synchronize ontologies. Synchronize.
Jan, could you join into discussion? We are just discussing the API for Federation. And the question is, do we need a synchronized operation? So currently we have, we can ask one OntoHub instance, can ask another OntoHub instance, give me all your ontologies. Give me, download one ontology. But the question is, do we need synchronized?
The synchronization feature is already available when we use OS. If you switch to Git repositories, then synchronizing is done via Git pull command. And there should not be any conflicts. I'm not sure about that, but generally, synchronization via Git is very easy, and we do not have to write a new API for this.
But do we assume that we only federate between repositories that are on Git?
Or on Subversion. Yeah, I would say that we put everything on Git.
But if someone else has their repository in the Drupal store, do we not federate with them?
It depends. So this API is basically spoken by OntoHub and also partly by BioPortal. So you think that there will be someone who, independently of OntoHub, sets up a service also speaking this API? And this is based on a Drupal store. Then still I would say that we add a kind of, that's the synchronization should be at the persistence layer. So we should have persistence API, and there we should have a synchronization method.
Sure.
So I have just added persistence below in the document, and then synchronize to repositories. Also say if they're not non-Git ones, like Drupal stores.
What is a virtual ontology?
Yeah. So virtual ontologies are copied from the API from BioPortal. So so I don't know what this is.
I think I seem to recall virtual came from their notion of a view.
Ah, okay. So you have basically a view saying, give me all concepts below the concept person. And this gives you a kind of view on the ontology, which is a kind of sub-ontology. And if you want to refer to this, then it's a kind of virtual ontology because it's not directly there in the database. It's like views in databases.
Uh-huh. Right. I think you could. We can drop that notion.
Uh huh.
At least it's the federation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then let's continue with the list. So there's annotator service.
Just a time check. We should be closing this call very quickly, like in the next 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay.
So that way we can start a new call for the other group. So presumably I have to leave and also use the conference bridge for this other call. So were you using this conference bridge earlier or... You were using
yes, the same? Yes, we have used it earlier.
Okay. So if you don't have the bridge, can you work? Or can you use Skype?
Yeah, I would suggest okay. that we use a Skype, a normal Skype conference call.
Okay.
Therefore, I would need all your Skype names. So
everyone types to the chat. Skype. Yeah. Put your name and then your Skype ID on the chat. So it would be good.
Yeah, so if you want to continue this discussion, please put the name and Skype ID on the chat and then I will start a call. Otherwise, we can use the Google document to continue working on the API.
But you still want a voice channel?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, let's get everyone ID anyway.
Anyone who wants to continue, please put your names on and Skype IDs on the chat. Peter, yeah, but Peter, you won't continue because you have the other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, but I. At least if you call me on that, then I can get back to you on the chat. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but yeah. Okay, Francesca is also on the other call. Then I would just say that we use the chat and the Google Doc. And no voice channel.
Okay. Is everyone else, if Maria is joining us, then is everyone else local?
Yeah, everyone else so, local. And we are still working on the OOPS onto Hub integration. And therefore, I would just say we use the Google Docs and the chat, and that should suffice.
Yeah.
Okay, so then
we'll work locally, and then when we want to get back to you, if anyone of us, let's say like Maria, or wants to get back to you, or Francesca, they can ping you on the chat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then thank you very much for coming, and for contributing to this effort, and yeah. See you on the next Ontology Summit call.
Thank you very much, Phil. This is great.
Yeah, thank you, Peter, for setting all these facilities up and keeping people in here.
Well, thank you. Talk to you later.
Yeah, see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Phil.